Welcome, everyone, to Heartbeat Theater. This is your host, C.P. McGregor, inviting you to be the guest of the Salvation Army for the next half hour. This week on Heartbeat Theater, you will hear A Case in Point, written by Milton Kahn. It is the story of one man as he appears to four people, all of whom claim to know the real man. But do they, really? We'll find out as we begin our story, A Case in Point, starring Parley Bear as Walter Cruz. Of all the creatures on the face of the earth, perhaps the most complex is the one called man. Like fingerprints, there are no two alike. There are tall ones, short ones, fat ones, thin ones, strong and weak ones. Men of different races and religions. Men of super intelligence and ignorant men. How then do we define man? Well, man is a mirror turned outward to reflect the image as others see it. A case in point, Walter Cruz. Walter is an American, 45 years old, and senior partner in the firm of 20th Century Builders Incorporated. Married, no children. So much for the vital statistics. What kind of a man is Walter Cruz?
He doesn't have blood in his veins. He's made of marble and steel.
That's Arthur Barton, junior partner of 20th Century Builders Incorporated.
Oh, I should know. I've worked with him long enough. No, that's not exactly right. No one works with Walter. You work for him. Oh, in the beginning, it wasn't like that. I could sit down with him, discuss things, tell him my ideas, and he'd listen. But listening wasn't good enough for him. He had to do all the talking, all the ordering. Now he's reached the point where everything has to be done the way he wants it done, and cleared through him for his final okay. As far as Walter Cruz is concerned, he's the 20th century master builder.
Now, why do you suppose a man like Arthur Barton would go on working with a man like that?
There's only one reason why I haven't quit. I want to be around when Walter's pedestal crumbles under him. He just can't go on treating people the way he does. Like that business with Larry Cartwright. What a rotten deal that was.
Arthur, I've just been looking over the bids of the subcontractors for our new housing project.
Yes, Walter?
Did you see the figures?
Yes.
Well?
Well, what?
Are you satisfied with them?
They're all right.
All right. Arthur, you've been in this business long enough to know that 20th Century does not work with contractors whose bids are just all right.
I didn't mean it that way, Walter.
I know what you mean. Frankly, I'm a little surprised. We've built this business on our reputation, and now that we've reached the point where we're the most important company in the state, that's no reason for us to begin cutting corners. We've built quality homes, and we're going to keep on building them. Now, I want these bids thrown out.
Thrown out?
And letters sent out for new ones.
Walter, that's ridiculous.
Why is it ridiculous?
Because reputable concerns submitted these bids.
Reputable by whose standards? Not mine, certainly.
Not yours. What about ours? Or don't my opinions mean anything around here anymore?
Oh, come off it, Arthur. I didn't mean that at all. I value your judgment, you know that. But as far as these bids are concerned, well, in the end, you'll have to admit I'm right.
Will I?
Where are the preliminary sketches for the Winthrop building?
Well, they aren't ready.
What do you mean they aren't ready? I promised Norbert Winthrop he'd have them at the end of next week. Why aren't they ready? What's Cartwright been doing?
He has them almost finished, but his wife went to the hospital day before yesterday for a serious major operation. Larry's been going down there to be with her.
Then put somebody else on the Winthrop sketches. I promised them for next week, and that's when they're going to be delivered.
You can't put anybody else on the job, Walter. Larry's done all the work on them. They're his baby. Wouldn't be fair to yank him off the project now.
Was it fair of him to walk off the job before it's finished?
He didn't. But his wife is in the
hospital.
Look,
Arthur, it's too bad about his wife, but we cannot afford to get sentimental about her. We can't risk losing a $1 million job just because she's sick. So if Cartwright can't do his work, we'll get somebody else to do it for him. As a matter of fact, I haven't been happy with Cartwright's work at all lately. We'd probably be better off to let him go altogether.
You mean firing?
That's exactly what I mean.
Walter, what makes you tick?
What?
What have you got in your veins? Ice water?
Now listen here, Arthur.
No, you listen for a while. It's time somebody told you off. You're always sounding off about how much you've done for the company, how your decisions have made it a success, how your ideas have put us in the upper brackets, how your brains are going to make us the top builders in the country. But the one thing you don't mention is how you treat everyone around you to become the big successful business tycoon. Carolyn, me, Larry Cartwright, and all the rest. We're just stepping stones for you, whipping boys. Well, I've had it, Walter. From now on, you can take full credit for everything that goes on around here. That's what you want, isn't it? So long, big shot. And heaven help 20th century builders.
Arthur Barton seems to be quite angry, doesn't he? But after all, can you blame him? If Walter Cruz is everything Arthur thinks he is, coldly ambitious, compassionless, egocentric, dictatorial, then perhaps Arthur is cause to be angry. No one enjoys working with a man of those qualities. But what about the others who know Walter Cruz? Do they see the same picture? How about Carolyn, his wife, for example?
Walter Cruz is a worm.
It seems the picture is changing.
An insignificant, crawling worm. After being married to him for 20 years, I think I know him better than anyone. Most men win success with their brains. With Walter, it was pure luck, plus the ability to surround himself with people who had talent. That much I'll give him credit for. But beyond that, well, the success of 20th century builders is the miracle of the 20th century. That was up to a couple of months ago, of course. Now I don't know what's going to happen to the company. If Walter had only spoken up. But no, he has to let everybody else do his thinking for him. If I'd been on my toes, I would have recognized the signs that morning at breakfast.
Good morning, dear. I guess I overslept a little.
Better start eating your breakfast or you'll be late at the office.
Well, if I am, I won't fire myself.
Very funny. Want some eggs?
No, thank you, dear. This is fine. I hope I didn't wake you when I got home last night.
No, I went to bed early.
Oh, that's good. I'm sorry I had to stay at the office, but you know how things are down there. Could I have the sugar, please?
Yeah. Yes, I know how things are. Walter, is there any reason why you have to work so much at night?
Well, the work has to be finished.
I know. But you have almost 100 people working for you. Can't one of them do it? Arthur Barton, for example?
Well, I suppose Arthur could do it, but I hate to ask him. He has his own projects, you know?
Yes, I've seen some of his projects, especially the blonde ones he takes out for a two-hour lunch.
Now, Carolyn, that isn't fair to Arthur. Just because you saw him having lunch with a girl once doesn't mean...
Oh, Walter, why are you always defending him? I don't see him knocking himself out helping you. He strolls in the office whenever he feels like it, leaves when he wants. It's a wonder to me that he gets any work done at all.
No, that's where you're wrong, dear. Arthur has been a great help. But right now, he's probably at the office working on sketches for the Winthrop building, so we can submit them to Mr. Winthrop next week.
The Winthrop sketches? I thought Larry Cartwright was doing those sketches.
Well, he was.
What do you mean he was?
Oh, well, he was doing a good job on the sketches, and until about a week ago, I was real happy with them.
What changed your mind?
Well, it wasn't my mind, not exactly. You see, his wife took sick. They had to rush her to the hospital for an operation. And, well, naturally, Larry was concerned. I know I would be if it happened to you.
I'm sure you would be.
Well, with Larry being worried and going over to the hospital all the time, the sketches weren't getting finished.
So?
Well, I didn't know what to do. We promised Mr. Winthrop he'd have the sketches at the end of next week. Arthur was going over the bids for the new housing project, so I didn't want to bother him.
Oh, of course not.
And then, while I was having lunch at Fellini's, Harvey Kent came in, and we started talking, and, well, I told him about Larry and how concerned I was about the Winthrop sketches.
And what did Harvey Kent say?
Well, he told me that what I should do was to get somebody else for the job and let Larry go.
You mean fire him?
No, I like Larry, Carolyn. He's a good worker when he works. But getting the Winthrop job would really put 20th century builders out front and...
Walter, will you forget the Winthrop sketches for a minute? What about Larry? Did you fire him or didn't you?
Well, Before I left, I put a note on his desk. Oh, I was nice about it, dear. I told him how important the sketches were and how I could understand his concern over his wife's health. I told him I'd be very happy to recommend him to any other firm he'd like to go with. And he's a very clever young man, Carolyn. Once his wife is out of the hospital and he can concentrate on his work, he'll be an asset to anyone.
Except 20th Century Builders, that is.
Well, what could I do, Carolyn? It was his job to finish the sketches, wasn't it?
Walter, I hate to tell you how to run your business, but did it ever occur to you that you might have called Mr. Winthrop and explained the situation? Another few days couldn't have made that much difference to him.
You don't understand.
You're right. I'm beginning to think I don't understand, especially you. When we were married, I thought you were something special, a man with vision and imagination. You were going to do big things once 20th Century got started. 20th Century did big things, all right, but you didn't have much to do with it. Frankly, Walter, I don't think you've had an original idea in your life. You've been lucky, that's all. It's about time you face the truth, Walter. You're just a frightened little man who knows he has no talent. I'm sorry for you, Walter. I really am. But I can't go on with a marriage that's built on pity. You're going to have to learn to stand on your own two feet, and you're going to have to do it alone. I'm leaving you, Walter.
That was the first act of A Case in Point, starring Parley Bear as Walter. There's an old saying that tells us that first appearances are often deceiving, and so far the story of Walter Cruz proves this completely. But there are times when this doesn't hold up. Consider the people who meet the Salvation Army only once, during an emergency perhaps, a fire or a flood. People who, regardless of what they looked like or believed, were given on-the-spot assistance, food, blankets, temporary shelter, first aid treatment. No strings attached, just help when it was needed. This makes a pretty terrific first impression, but even the slightest follow-up shows that the Salvation Army work is pretty terrific, no matter what it is. So, with the Salvation Army, first appearances are not deceiving. They are indeed a pretty wonderful organization. Now, Act Two of A Case in Point, starring Parley Bear as Walter Cruz. Walter Cruz, American, 45 years old, senior partner in 20th Century Builders Incorporated, marital status for the present unknown. The picture of this man seems to be an ever-changing one. But which is the true picture of Walter Cruz, or is either one? Perhaps we should look a bit further before we decide what kind of a man he is. Where should we look? One of the most improbable places would be on the seamier side of town, Skid Row. And yet...
How well I remember the first time I saw Walter Cruz.
Major Harold Trumbull of the Salvation Army.
We were just beginning our outdoor meeting, and as the band began to play the opening hymn, I studied the small group which was gathering before us. This was our usual congregation, the curious and the seekers. But as my eyes ran over the crowd, I noticed one man standing back in the shadows. His type was not uncommon on Skid Row. He was unshaven, unkempt. His clothes looked as though they'd been slept in for many a night, which undoubtedly was true. But there was something about his clothes, and the man himself, which suggested that they had seen much better days. Now there was a hopeless look on the man's face, and I knew that here was someone who badly needed our help. At the end of our meeting, the others drifted down the street, but he remained, still standing in the shadows. He didn't move as I walked toward him. Did you want to talk to me?
Talk? About what?
I saw you standing here during our service, and I thought you might have wanted our help.
No. I don't want any help. I'm Walter Cruz. Senior partner of 20th Century Builders. I'm a very important man.
I'm sure you are.
Do I know you?
No, we've never met before.
Then how do you know I'm important?
If you say you are, then I believe you.
No reason why you should. I used to be important. Lots of people took orders from me, but not anymore. Nobody does. I'm nothing anymore. Nothing going nowhere.
Why don't we go for a walk, and you can tell me all about it.
Walk? I walked out on $1 million. Did you know that?
That's quite a sum of money.
Picked up my hat and walked out. Never went back. Arthur and Caroline walked out on me, so I walked out on them and everybody else. Never go back.
Who are Arthur and Caroline?
Wasn't my fault Larry's wife died. I fired Larry.
I see.
They must have had a good reason. I can't think of it now. Am I making sense?
Yes, of course you are.
I can't think anymore. Everything is mixed up. Do you have a drink?
Don't you think you've had enough?
If Caroline hadn't walked out, everything would be all right. Just like that, she walked out.
Is Caroline your wife?
Only woman I ever loved. She walked out on me. Do you know Caroline?
No, I don't.
Caroline? I want Caroline. I've got to find Caroline.
Of course you do. But first, you need some rest and food. Then we'll look for Caroline together. Good morning. Feeling better?
Any reason why I should?
Well, I got you to eat something last night, and after good rest, I thought perhaps...
Why did you bring me here?
Last night, you were badly in need of help.
Help? Just what kind of help do you think you can give me?
Well, nothing else. Just to sit and talk.
You think talking is going to help me?
You need someone to help you find yourself, to help you regain your self-confidence. Your place in society.
Sorry, my friend, but I have no place in society. Except a warm doorway somewhere on Skid Row.
You're feeling pretty sorry for yourself, aren't you?
I'm not feeling sorry.
You've decided that life's given you a rotten deal, so you're just going to give up and do your best to destroy yourself. Is that what you want me to believe?
I don't give a hang what you believe.
Perhaps it would be better if you did destroy yourself. You know, cowards aren't worth anything to anybody, including themselves.
Coward?
You think of a better name for yourself?
Would a coward walk out on a successful business just when he was about to land a $1 million contract? It takes guts to do that.
It also takes guts to walk back into a business like that. Now, I'm not asking you why you gave it up. I just want to help you return to the world where you belong. You say you're not a coward. Then prove it to yourself. Start back before you do destroy yourself.
I can't. I've lost my way.
With God's help, you can find it again. Do you remember what I said at our outdoor meeting last night? Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. I'm offering you my hand to lift you up.
It's too late. The only thing that helps me is a bottle. You don't know how it is.
We've helped many others who've said the same thing and learned to live without it. Men who've regained their self-respect. Now, isn't it worth a try?
Well, right now, it doesn't look like I have much choice, does it? When you hit rock bottom, I guess the only way left to go is up.
Well, My picture of Walter Cruz seems to change quicker than the summer sky at sunset. But it still isn't quite complete. There's one more voice to be heard from before we put a frame on it, as the saying goes.
I owe a lot to Walter Cruz.
That was Paul. Paul is 25.
He's made me see things a lot clearer.
Paul is also blind.
I remember how it was with me before I met Walter. When they brought me to the same hospital he was in, I wasn't very good company, I guess. You know, 25, wanting to grab the world by the tail, and being blind as a bat. I was over in Korea with the Army when it happened. Now, I'm no war hero or anything like that. I was with the quartermaster loading some kind of chemicals in a quarter ton, and one of the bottles just up and exploded, right in my face. I was in the hospital over there for 6 months. Then they gave me my discharge and sent me back to a hospital in the States. It was right after I got there that I met Walter Cruz. It was the middle of the summer. I was sitting in my wheelchair out in the solarium, not thinking much about anything.
Well, hello. You mind if I sit down? The ward was getting a little stuffy, you know. Sun certainly feels good. And just look at that sky. Did you ever see such a beautiful day?
Look, mister, maybe you didn't notice. I'm blind.
Well, you can feel the sun, can't you? And hear the birds singing.
So?
So, that's something to be thankful for.
You think so?
I do.
And how long have you been blind?
Perhaps longer than you, son, in a different way.
What's that supposed to mean?
It means that some of us are blind when we lose the power of sight, while others of us are blind to what we're doing with our lives.
Well, thanks a lot, but I'm not interested in philosophy.
Oh, I didn't mean it as philosophizing. Let's just call it a bit of self-analysis. Both of us have an adjustment to make, and I just started a little sooner.
Look, mister, I don't know what you're talking about. Even if I did, I wouldn't be interested. So why don't you just go somewhere and leave me alone, huh?
How long have you been blind?
5 minutes would be too long.
Yes, but how long have you been blind?
8 months, 9 months. What difference does it make?
Well...
Now you can feel sorry for me like everyone else.
I don't feel sorry for you.
What?
Once you make your adjustment, your life will go on.
Huh. And what's this big adjustment you're making? Getting over a sprained toe? A cut finger? Huh?
No, nothing that simple. I was brought to the hospital as an acute alcoholic.
A lousy drunk.
That's right. Permanent address, the gutter, Skid Row. Future plans, oblivion. The reason? There were many. Let's just boil them all down and say I was feeling sorry for myself until someone reached out and gave me a helping hand. When you start feeling sorry for yourself...
You think that's what's wrong with me, huh?
Well, isn't it?
No.
Then why that chip on your shoulder?
Look, mister, maybe it hasn't sunk in. I'm blind. I can't see. I'll never be able to see again. So why don't you just stop playing, big brother, and leave me alone?
All right, son. But just remember one thing. What a person does with his life can more than make up for the loss of his hearing or speech or even sight. Think about that for a while.
I did think about it. And about Walter Cruz, too. I guess when you're as young as I am, and you know you're never going to see again... You're bound to feel sorry for yourself and think, what have I got to live for? But if you're lucky, along comes somebody like Walter Cruz. He had his own problems. That didn't stop him from sitting down with me and helping me with mine. At first, I thought he was just a pest. But after a while, I got so I looked forward to his coming to see me, especially when he'd push my wheelchair through the park near the hospital.
How about parking here for a while? Paul gets out of the sun for a few minutes.
Okay, Walter. Hey. What's that yelling I hear?
Oh, a bunch of little kids playing over there on the swings and slides.
Gee, I can remember when I was a kid. That's all I was ever interested in, going to the park to play. I can see it now. What I mean is, you can see it, Paul.
You can see many things in your mind's eye, and you'll see more. Sounds and smells will create pictures as you see them. You know, I envy you, son.
What do you mean?
Well, those of us who have our sight can see the ugliness of things, but you see only beauty. Not only in objects around you, but in people. You'll learn to know people very quickly because you won't have to size up their physical qualities first.
Yeah. I've never thought of it that way.
Paul, do you have any idea what you want to do when you leave the hospital?
Nah, I haven't thought about it much, up to now anyway. Before the accident, before I went into the service, I thought maybe I'd like to be a writer. Did quite a bit of writing in school. But now, I don't know.
Do you know how to use a typewriter?
Sure, learned in high school.
Well, then there's nothing to keep you from being a writer, if that's what you really want to be.
Yeah, but if I'm blind... Well,
what difference does that make?
Well...
Yeah?
Why are you doing all this for me?
Why?
Yeah.
Well, I don't want you to mess up your life before it's really begun. I don't want you to wind up the way I did. I had a good thing going, Paul. Very successful business, a happy marriage. At least that's how I was at first. I was living off the fat of the land. But when the pressure got too great, when problems came up that I couldn't face, I just up and walked out. Chucked everything in the rubbish heap. You know, the major was right. I was a coward. I took the easy way out. Threw my life away. I know that now. I'd like to pick up my life the way it was before, but... Well, I have my sight, Paul, but I closed my eyes because I didn't want to see. You can compensate for your blindness. Maybe too late for me to compensate for mine. I think you'll find your way now. I hope I can find mine.
Well, now, we've just about answered our question, what is man? Case in point, Walter Cruz. We have seen Walter through many eyes.
He doesn't have blood in his veins. He's made of marble and steel.
Arthur Barton, his partner.
You're just a frightened little man who knows he has no talent.
Carolyn, his wife.
You say you're not a coward. Then prove it to yourself. I'm offering you my hand to lift you up.
Major Trumbull of the Salvation Army.
Walter Cruz had his own problems, but that didn't stop him from helping me with mine.
Young Paul, who was blind. Many voices to paint a picture of Walter Cruz, but which was the true picture? Which was the real Walter Cruz? Perhaps none. Then again, perhaps all of them were a reflection of Walter Cruz, the man. Perhaps, like a jigsaw puzzle, all the pieces must be put in their proper places before the whole picture is complete. Each voice we heard supplied its piece of Walter Cruz. But there is one voice which knows the real man better than all the rest.
But thou, O Lord, knowest me. Thou hast seen me. For he knoweth the secrets of the heart.
That was the final act of A Case in Point, starring Parley Bear as Walter Cruz. Be sure and be with us again next week for another Heartbeat Theater story. Heartbeat Theater is a presentation of the Salvation Army and is broadcast overseas by the Armed Forces Radio Service. Until next week, this is your host, C.P. McGregor, saying thanks for listening and have a happy week ahead.